Amen. Well, the book of Ephesians and chapter 6, and these words in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these hymns we've been singing this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we've sung them well from our lips, with our voices. And Lord, we believe that even singing them has been a blessing to our soul. But now, Lord, as we turn to this description of the armor, O Lord, teach us thy truth. May we feed upon Christ the Word, the one who is the truth. May we know him. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. When you begin to think of a Roman soldier's armor and would ask, let's say, boys and girls, what's pieces of armor? Well, one of them might say, oh, well, he had a breastplate, and that would protect him from fiery darts. And, oh, yes, he'd have a shield, and that's a very important part of the armor. And, oh, yes, his sword to attack the enemy, that was a vital part of the armor. Oh, yes, and a helmet to protect his head. I wonder how many would answer, oh, yes, the prominent one is the belt. To be honest, do we often think of a soldier's belt as a piece of the armor? We may just think it's something just sort of added. No, no. Do you notice God, the Spirit, instructs Paul when he's writing about the armor? The very first piece of equipment he mentions is a belt. You see, girding yourself with truth has the idea of putting a belt. The Roman soldier had a wide belt, probably 6 inches or even more wide, that went round his waist, and it would tie it securely. Why does he mention a belt as a very important piece of the armor? Well, when we begin to look at it a bit closer, you'll see why. It's first, why it is important, and we'll see why you as a Christian dare not go out into life, because life is a battle. You dare not go out without buckling your belt. That's the subject this morning. Buckle up your belt. Buckle up your belt this morning, spiritually. So first of all, we need to look at the literal description. The literal description of this belt, girding yourself with truth. It was a very wide belt. It had on it various loops, also hung down a bit with strips at the front with bits of metal, sort of a protection. But there were loops on it. There was a sort of a loop where he could put the sheath for the sword. There may be a place where he would tie on rations. And that belt went around his waist. But the main thought in the passage of girding up, it's used often in Scripture, that expression, to gird up. Well, it's more than just, do you ever say, pull up your belt? Well, it's more than that, tighten your belt. Because Roman soldiers, like all men of that day, and women for that matter, wore long flowing robes. A Roman soldier's would simply be a piece of cloth with sort of like a circle for your head to go through, a couple of slits for your arms. And it would keep you warm. It would go down to his ankles. You could sleep, put it round you like a blanket. But when the summons to war came, they would take up the ends of it, the bottom, and they would tuck it up, and they'd have the belt around it. Maybe you've seen pictures of men from the Middle East and so on, and they seem to have really baggy, baggy pants. You ever seen that? It's not. It's the long cloth. But what they've done is, in the picture that you've seen, they've lifted the robe and they've sort of put it round their middle. That's why it looks so baggy. It's not a baggy trousers at all. It's the long robe that's girded up. Girded up. That's the idea of this belt. The belt was also connected to the breastplate, so it would keep the breastplate in place so it didn't just swing around. And that's the idea of this belt. I think of a policeman's belt. Do you ever think of a police officer's belt? I've seen some in America, and their belts seem to be bigger. Those policemen have a big, big, broad belt. Remember the first time we went to America, New York, and there was a police officer. He had taken his big billy club out of his belt, the big bit longer in the police truncheon here, and he just swung it like this. And the airport was crowded, but everybody moved. Especially when he was about 6 foot six, and he just swung it like that, and then he put it back in his belt. And the policeman would have maybe some type of light if he's out at night. He would have, in those days they kept the radio here, now of course up here the policeman would usually have it, and they would have that. They would have, of course, their gun. They would have bullets, little pouches for bullets around the belt. He might have a few rations there as well. And that's the idea of this belt. It's not just a belt that you men are wearing this morning. It's a belt for the equipment. It's a belt that joins some of the equipment. And a carpenter, have you seen a carpenter wearing a belt like an apron? A place for the hammer, a place for other tools and so on. Get that idea in your mind. That's the idea of this belt. What did it signify? Well, when a Roman soldier buckled his belt, it spoke of preparedness. Preparedness. He could be sitting casually with other soldiers, his long tunic down to his ankles, maybe his feet up, having a chat. But when the order came, the enemy's approaching, he got up, and the first thing he did was he put his belt on. That's first. You got the belt round you, you tucked up the long robes, you put your belt on. When you get on an aeroplane, the air hostess, buckle up your belt. Or buckle up your seat belt. They actually come round and check. Have you your seat belt on, sir? If you don't have it on, off you go. Do you ever read sometimes in the paper somebody refuses to put the seat belt and they're thrown off the plane? What are you doing? You're preparing for takeoff. In fact, they'll say that. We're preparing for landing. Buckle your belt. You get into the car. And of course now you'll be fined if you don't have your seat belt on. And my car is that annoying whine, you know, beep beep if you don't put, if your belt's not in. Beep 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 beep. Oh, belt. Buckle your belt. Be prepared. Prepared physically, prepared mentally. And I believe as the soldier put that belt around him, there was the thought in his mind, I'm preparing for war. I'm getting ready. But it also spoke of power. It spoke of power. Do you know the Lord said of a man called Eliakim, Isaiah 22, verse 21, I will strengthen him with my girdle. God says, I'm going to strengthen that man. The girdle, the large, wide belt. How does it strengthen? Well, do you ever see the Olympic weightlifters? They're wearing a belt. No serious weightlifter would ever dream of trying to lift a weight without the middle part, the loins, the torso being girded. And my, they go, breathe in and they get it. And there's about three places to secure it tightly. And then, why is that? Because that wide belt strengthens the backbone and it strengthens the muscles. Used to see some coal men years ago and some of them would have a big thick belt. Or down at the docks carrying big sacks of grain, and might have put on the big belt and tighten it. It gives you power. And of course, when the Roman soldier had his belt tightened, he was able to handle the sword and the shield, if he had a spear, a lot stronger. But it not only a state of preparedness and power, it was a protection. A protection. Gird up your loins. The idea of the belt is it would protect the inner organs of your body. Of course, when you lifted something, you could very easily strain. And there's all, of course, important organs, and I'm not a doctor, but you know the different parts of your body, how important it is to protect your kidneys and your, well, all the different parts of your body, intestines and so on. What does a big, wide, wide belt do? It protects you. It protects you. Have you got the idea then of what this belt means, the literal description? But look at the verse again, because while Paul is giving us a literal description, the people knew a Roman soldier, Look what he says in the text. It's not very long, but look, having your loins girt about with truth. You see, this is a spiritual interpretation. Of course, we don't put on a literal belt. But what's it talking about here? Putting on a belt of truth. Girding yourself with truth. Now, if you read up on this, you might find that commentators, some of them disagree with each other. Commentators seem to like to do that. Disagree with each other. And some of them say strongly, oh, it's speaking about the Word of God. That's the truth. But then there are others that say, oh, no, it can't be, because later on you have the sword of the Spirit, and that's talking about the Word of God. No, it's speaking about what David said in Psalm 51 and 6. Do you know what he said in that verse over in Psalm 51 and 6? God requireth truth in the inward parts. What did David mean? He meant that God requires his people to have sincerity and truthfulness, no deceit in their life, no hypocrisy. And so those commentators will say, putting on the belt of truth, it's us, it's our subjective life, it's our sincerity. It's our honesty of character. It's not talking about the objective truth of God's word. That's not what it means here. It means to be, having our belt on means we're walking sincerely. Bible calls it walking in the light, as God is in the light. We've no unconfessed sin. We're not seeking to cover up sin. We're not seeking to live hypocritically. Which is it? Yes, I believe it's both. I don't know why they argue about it. I think it refers to both. I think it refers to both. And that's why I took the trouble this morning to read those verses in the book of Ephesians. When you have a difficult passage, always look at the context. And when you go to the word truth in the book of Ephesians, what did we find earlier? In chapter 1 and 13, it's the truth of the word of the gospel. And it says, in whom? It's the truth of Christ in the gospel. But then in chapter 4 and 15, speaking the truth in love, that's us. That's truthfulness. It said again, as the truth is in Jesus, that's speaking about the objective truth, the facts of Scripture and of Christ. And then again, it tells us, put away lying, speak truth. So, and later on it says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all truth. You remember we said Christ is truth. Christ is the armor. And when you go to Ephesians, the first three chapters are all about Christ and his redemption. The truth of our salvation. The truth of our standing in Christ. And believer, we need to be strengthened. We need to be prepared and protected and empowered by realizing what you have in Christ. How in Christ you have been saved by his grace. You are a child of God. You have forgiveness through his blood, redemption through his blood. You have an inheritance in Christ. You're accepted in Christ. That's all what we mean by the truth. The truth in Christ. You need, and the first three chapters talk about that. But the next three chapters say and teach us, if you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, and you know that truth in Christ of salvation, that will be lived out in your life by a practical, living, truthfully, sincerely, walking according to the practical commands of Scripture. You can only walk in the practical commands of Scripture, walk truthfully, sincerely, if you're in Christ. But think of it in the reverse. If you are truly saved and in Christ, the result is you will be walking truthfully. Oh, I know we slip, we fail, and that's when we get miserable. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and then we confess our sin, and then we're able to walk in the truth again in the light. So they're linked. You must know the truth in Christ of your salvation, and that results in living truthfully. But, of course, the main emphasis, to be able to have practical truthfulness, you must know the truth of this scripture. Can you see what Paul's saying? Christian, the very first thing to stand against the devil, the first piece of armor that you need to put on is to know the truth and bind the truth of God around you. Do you realize the importance of Scripture? Now, if we didn't have the Word of God, we'd fall prey to the devil's lies. We live in a day of fake news. Sometimes I watch the media just for a laugh to see how many lies you can count. I hope you don't believe everything you hear or read in the media. The propaganda, society with its lies. You need to have the truth around you. You need to have the truth of God's word around you, and that will enable you to stand true, because if you fall for one of the devil's lies, you're giving him a foothold. Ah, but then again, if you're not walking truthfully, remember we pointed out, neither give place to the devil. How? Anger, lying to someone. All those things in a Christian, doing those things, the devil, you're inviting the devil in. You can't stand against him. So you've got here the interpretation, the spiritual interpretation. You have here the literal description. Can you see it? This wide belt holds everything together. Can you see why Paul is saying the spiritual application is you need the truth of God's word. You need to be walking truthfully in your life, because that's the thing that will put all the rest of the pieces of armor together. You have to have that first. You'll never wield the sword of the Spirit. You'll never hold the shield of faith. You'll not have these other things unless you get a good... Well, I put it this way. Unless the truth has a good grip on you. Well, you tighten your belt. You buckle up your belt. What are you doing? You're tightening it. And the passage here simply means to stand against Satan, you need to tighten up. Have the truth of the Word of God like a great wide belt around you to make you strong to face the foe. You have the literal description. You have the spiritual interpretation. But let's deal with the practical application. It talks there about girding your loins. You have to do it. You have to put on the armor. How do you put it on? That's the point. Having your loins girt about. And as no Roman soldier would dare to go into battle without buckling his belt to give him that preparedness, the power, the protection, no Christian dare live. You see, we're always under attack. The devil attack when you don't expect it. So we almost always have to have on us the belt of truth, so that we will be prepared to stand against devil, that we will have the power to do it, and we will be protected. How do we do it? Well, even before you face the world, in the morning, meditate upon God's word. Make sure you have the truth of God around you. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, usually when preachers are talking, we talk about get the word into your mind, and we point to our head. Is the mind our head? How come you're talking about putting the truth around our waist? My mind's not down in my waist. Well, bear with me. Do you know in Roman times and Hebrew times, emotions, thoughts, feelings are illustrated figuratively by the organs in our body? That's why when you read the New Testament, you may have raised your eyebrows when you come upon a verse such as this, where Paul said, I long after you after the bowels of mercy. Or, I have compassion with my bowels. And you're going, what is that reading about? Well, of course, the word means your insides. Now, just take a few moments to explain this. I was take missionary principles with the students, and some of them asked me, would I do a few weeks on the difficulty of language learning? Language learning, and I pointed out that learning a foreign language is more than getting a dictionary. I know on holidays you can sometimes get a word and you say to somebody, oh, there's a word. And it's more than that. And Dr. Bill Wood, you could ask him afterwards about all missionaries. I told him, if you don't have a sense of humour as a missionary, you'll never learn the language, because the mistakes missionaries make, and I'll not tell any that Bill made or that I made or others made. It's you see, one word in one language doesn't mean the same in another language. It's used in different ways, and I give examples. You see, in Papua New Guinea, if you talked about, see that man? He's big-hearted. What a miser. He's large-hearted. What a miser. Oh, look at that lovely small-hearted man. What a generous man. Well, you see, it's logical. If you were big-hearted, it meant you never give your heart away to others. If you had a small heart, it meant your heart was small, but you're always giving it away to others. Some of the tribes we lived among in New Guinea, they would say, oh, I love the Lord with all my liver. Now, you may think that's blasphemous. No, it's not. Because they express love by their liver. Now, they don't mean that. When we talk about loving the Lord with our heart, do you mean that organ that pumps? Of course we don't. And I told them to turn to Psalm 16. I told the students to turn to Psalm 16. You might want to do this, or I'll read it to you. And you'll see why I'm doing this. You wonder what's this all about, but just bear with me. Psalm 16. And just before I read it, I said this to the students. Have you got it? And I said to them, I said, would any of you students like to tell the class how your kidneys taught you last night? Did your kidneys instruct you during the night last night? And they looked at me. You must be having a senior moment. I said, no, I'm serious. Were any of you instructed by your kidneys last night? I'm serious. And then they're really worried. Well, look at verse 7 of Psalm 16. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. That's why we need the word of God, the truth, God's counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I had someone say to me, is that the reins of a horse? No, it's renal. You nurses in the hospital ward, it's Latin for kidneys. Renal ward. In the Hebrew, it's a word for kidneys. In fact, the word in the Greek is a word for disease of the kidney. Well, you're saying, what does the King James mean, renal? You see, in Hebrews, their thoughts, their attitudes, their emotions were expressed by that organ of the body. Of course it doesn't mean the literal kidney. It's an expression. And that's why, as I said, in the New Testament, the bowels of mercy. In other words, and we do that. You ever say, oh, my stomach's all a flutter. I'm nervous or whatever. We do this. We say, can you see the significance now? Go back to the belt. The belt goes round the waist. And I'm saying that verse about the reins, and there's other verses, it means the Lord trieth our emotions, our attitudes. What does it mean to put on the belt of truth? How do you put it on? It means you make sure your attitudes, your emotions, your feelings are governed by the Word of God. Not by your flesh, not by self. But your feelings are governed by the Word of God. See, too often we live by our own feelings. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel. We're believers. We're saved. We're to have the feelings that God wants us to have. We're to pray every morning, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Let me have an attitude that glorifies God. I want to bring every thought, every attitude, every emotion. You remember the verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It means your attitudes. And then saying that in those times, the organs of the bottom part of your stomach, that was symbolic to them of your emotions and attitudes. Christian, how do you put on the belt? It means that you need to have your attitudes right. Scriptural attitudes, not the attitudes of the world, not the feelings of the world, not the feelings of ease and comfort for self, but for Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means if you're waking up in the night in a dread, how am I going to face this illness? And of course, some believers are down in the valley near the river of death. How am I going to face my death? It's the terror of kings, the king of terrors. How am I going to face it? Or there's a problem in the family, a problem in your life. Oh, how am I ever going to face this? And maybe you waken in the morning and you're in dread. Listen, buckle on your belt. Buckle on your belt. Greater is he that is in you than that is in the world. Buckle on your belt. Take Hebrews 13 and 5. For God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. How do you buckle on your belt? How do you gird yourself with truth? You take that promise and you say, Lord, I confess I have an attitude of fear, an attitude of loneliness, an attitude of dread. Lord, I'm taking your word. And I'm buckling it around my attitudes and my thoughts and my feelings. And I'm going to stand strong in your word. That's what it means. It's not just a matter of carrying your Bible with you. And it's even more than being able to quote the verse. So that's the first step. You need to rely on the word of God. That's what we're saying. Don't let your mind certainly think on impure things. You see, it starts in your thoughts. The battle begins in your thoughts and attitudes. You'll never win the battle unless your thoughts are right. You'll never win the battle unless your attitude is right. And that's why Paul said in Philippians about having the peace of God around us. And he says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on those things. Of course, all those are on Christ. They're in Christ. I thought when I read this about what they call St. Patrick's breastplate. Now, I don't know if they're all from St. Patrick, but Mrs. Alexander, the writer of so many of our hymns, All Things Bright and Beautiful, Once in Royal David's City, There is a Green Hill Far Away, and so on. She also wrote what's known as Patrick's breastplate. She took some words that Patrick wrote, and here's some of it. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death and cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spice tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom. I bind unto myself today the power of God to hold and lead, God's eye to watch, God's might to stay. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. That's what I think the belt of truth means. You see, God the Father is the God of truth. He's called that in Scripture. Our Father is the God of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, we sang at John 14 and 6, I am the truth. In the very next verse in John 14, the Savior said, the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he teaches us about Christ, who is the truth. And he opens up the word of truth to us. And so girding ourselves with the truth means that we're crying out, oh, Spirit of truth, today, come, change my attitudes, change my feelings, change my thoughts, make them scriptural. And we take the promises of God, the commands of God, the word of God, and we buckle them around us. And we stand into Christ. When the devil comes and says, "Oh, you sinned, how do you think God would ever allow you into heaven?" Ah, you say, "Ah, but listen, you buckle on you, Ephesians chapter 1. In Christ we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins," 1 John. That's buckling on the belt. You take the word of God and you get your attitudes straightened. Oh, listen, do you have the belt on? If you don't have the belt on, you're no match for Satan. If you don't gird yourself with God's truth, you're defeated before you start. You'll fall a prey to Satan. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved yet. Do you know why? Because you've listened to the devil's lies. Devil has deceived you. Maybe he's deceived you. You've heard the gospel, because maybe you've attended here for quite a while. But the devil has deceived you into thinking, "Well, I'll do that someday. Sometime before I die." Look at the man, I remember the Reverend John Morrow telling us about once, was in his mid-90s. And he witnessed to him. You know what he says? "Ach, I know I need to be saved. Maybe someday. Maybe someday." I was a man deceived by the devil's lies that we can be sure of tomorrow. You can't. Maybe you're thinking, "But ach, the Lord couldn't save me." That's a lie. Get the truth of the word of God. If you come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Oh, if you're not saved, you need to come and believe God's truth. God's truth, if you call upon the Lord, you'll be saved. Believe God's truth this morning. And then start to live by the truth of the word of God. Put yourself under the preaching of the word. Read it, study it, meditate upon it. And make sure you're examining your attitudes, your thoughts, according to the word of truth. May God help us to buckle up our belts and get ready for war.